Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. This episode is sponsored by ReviewRobin, a review management software for marketing agencies to help you guys get your clients more positive reviews. You can check that out at getreviewrobin.com. Now, our guest today is Max Juhas of Cannabis Marketing Solutions, and today we are discussing sales tactics to grow your agency. Max is a 20-year door-to-door dropout turned self-taught SEO agency owner. He made his first 10K from organic YouTube traffic and uses those results to start a career in digital marketing. He focuses on conversions and helping his clients make more money. Thanks so much for joining us today, Max.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So let's dive into a couple questions so that we can get to know you a little bit.
Sure. What's up?
So tell our listeners, where are you tuning in from today?
I'm here in Chicago right now. Like I was just telling you, I just flew in for the weekend, but I live in Texas.
Awesome.
But I'm originally from New Jersey, so I'm well-traveled, to say the least.
Very well-traveled. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And what gets you out of bed in the morning? Like, what really gets you motivated and inspired?
Legacy stuff. You know, I think you know, when I was in my 20s, it was more like, hey, I just want to make money. Mm-hmm. Now it's more about, like, setting a good example and leaving a legacy for my kids, you know?
Yeah.
More than anything. It's, yeah.
Awesome. And then how did you get into digital marketing originally?
All right, I'll give you the short version of this. I ran a door-to-door sales company for roughly 20 years. We sold art business to business, house to house.
Gotcha.
And we did really great for a while until the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Until sites like art.com started like really doing a ton of sales, until you could just, you know, basically like we were the one-stop shop. There was no competition because we beat prices on everything and mm-hmm. we were able to do that. And the people that ran the, like our distributors, the people above us, basically didn't see the benefit mm-hmm. of doing any sort of like online marketing, whether it was like even building a website for the business. You know, and I mean, when you're thinking about a business model like that, where you're basically hiring people on every week to go out and sell stuff door to door, there's a lot of churn and burn with that. And I mean, as people started to, as people started to learn how to make money online, recruiting dropped immensely. And then as competition out there, it was just like, hey, whereas like, oh, we've been looking for somebody to sell us some art versus like, oh, we just bought everything online. I was like, we need to go online. And everybody basically was like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. So I was kind of like the rebel in the company. I was like, I'm just going to learn this. You know, I'm going to learn how to do it myself since nobody else seems to be interested in doing this.
Yeah.
And eventually as the business went bankrupt and I had to shut the doors, I was already in a position. I was like, I know how to do this.
You know, so exactly.
Yes. So it ended up transitioning over because I come from a family of artists. Like my father's an illustrator, my brother's an animator. It's like I grew up. So like selling art to me was like a really cool thing. And when I learned digital marketing, you know, the thing with SEO, you know, SEO takes time, you know, SEO takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time to rank a website.
Totally.
But back in 2014, 2015, 2016, you could pump YouTube videos on page one all day long. If you optimize in the right way. And that's basically what I did. My background was in sales. I didn't have a problem talking to people. I didn't have and it was weird for me, like I was used to doing face-to-face conversations, versus like I'm talking to a camera. but I went through some weird challenge. They were like, do 50 videos in 7 days. And I was like, all right, let me see what I can do.
But
the thing about that was like once I went through that, I was like, holy crap, I can make videos now. You know, like it wasn't like, oh, I'm standing in front being awkward and weird. It was more like, hey, I can just go in there and talk and sell. Because that was to me, that was the wonderful thing about YouTube. That was a wonderful thing about ranking a website. That was a wonderful thing about digital marketing. You know, it's like I would train people originally. It's like you have to go see 100 people a day and throw 100 sales pitches a day. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, and like 99%, you know, 90% of them aren't going to be interested. They're too, you know, they're too busy. It's not the right time, whatever, yeah. whatever. Whereas like, if you rank a website, you rank a video, you know, if you propagate for the correct keywords, people are coming to you now, you know, whereas like, hey, it's like, I may not get to do 100 pitches, but like, hey, if I get a call a day, or if I get a, you know, a couple calls a week, these are like pre-qualified, like already, like they're looking for what I'm selling. They're looking for what I'm doing, potential clients.
Exactly.
Yeah. So to me, that was kind of that. So I basically transitioned over into, I went full blown. I was like, all right, I'm just gonna start doing YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. And what happened was I built, I had a couple videos that ended up, I mean, you still Google it. It's like how to sell art 2017, how to sell art online 2016. Like my video is still ranked number one for those. And some of them ended up getting like 40, 50,000, 60,000 views.
That's cool.
And I mean, I basically built, and this was like, I didn't have the money to, I mean, I literally like, I shut down my business. I was like, I got to do something. So I just recorded videos and published them. And what ended up happening was I started generating a ton of leads. You know, I was like, and people started giving me good feedback, and I was like, okay, so maybe I could monetize this. I was like, I'll put together a sales course. Cause there were, you know, I found out that the, you know, this was like before anybody was like doing like a, like when like coaching online was still like a new thing. Mm-hmm. Cause now it's like, there's like a bajillion people teaching like how to sell yeah. online. And I was like, I just kind of like phased out of it. I was like, this is cool. This was a cool test. I don't want to do this anymore. like, you know what I mean?
So
like
I had, doing that now.
Yeah, there's so many people doing it, but it was also like, I mean, I didn't know how to price the course. I didn't know anything. Like I made a little over $10,000 on the course, you know?
That's
and
cool.
I was like, this is awesome. Like, cool. I learned how to make money online. I learned how to create a product and sell it online from, mm-hmm. and just like generate leads and do all this other stuff. And once I figured out, I was like, okay, so I have my own success story now, and I can use this to market, you know, my results at, you know, because I think that's the hardest thing for a lot of people when they get started. It's like, well, how do I get clients? You know, and to me, it's like, I mean, I've got assistants, I've got VAs, I got people on my team now. They're like, well, you know, and they come to me like, I want to start an agency. I was like, for one, you're not going to do it today. You know, stop trying to take clients on this week. Like you mm-hmm. don't, you haven't. If you haven't ranked a site for yourself yet, if you haven't produced results for yourself yet, for one, you don't know what it takes. You know, it's like you can go through all the training, you can teach, you can take all the courses, but until you've done it for yourself, like you don't, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, like soulfully know what it takes to actually do it.
Yeah.
And stop trying to rush it. You know what I mean? Because like, I think that's another thing too. It's like, I think one of the selling points when it comes to digital marketing now, it's like, oh, you can make so much money. Look at these people. You know, I think that's a digital agency, make seven figures this year, you know, and it's like, but I've never done this before. And everyone's like, well, you know, I want to start making 10 grand a month. It's like, listen, get your first client first. You know what I mean? Like rank for a keyword first, like generate your first lead.
Yeah. No, having those stories of success, stories of things you've done is so powerful when you're selling mm-hmm. your services. It's just
Absolutely.
Like such a great way to position yourself.
Absolutely. And then it's like, especially if you can repeat it. You know, especially if you could repeat it. And the thing is, you know, and as you, you know, when you get started, it's tough to figure out because there's so many industries you can get into. Like everybody's mm-hmm. in digital marketing. I mean, what 2020 taught us, what COVID taught us was that everybody needs a website. You know, every business out there needs digital marketing services.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a question anymore. You know, before quarantine, before the lockdown, there was some resistance. You know, it's like, oh, I don't need that. I get walk-in traffic. I don't need that. I have my neighbors. I don't need that. I have my referrals.
Digital marketing just exploded during the pandemic. Like it's
absolutely.
Crazy. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, my agency scaled. I mean, like we had our best year. We didn't have to do anything. You know, it was just people were coming to us. It's like, we need help. And I was like, all right.
I was literally just talking to an agency owner the other day who scaled her agency from a one-man show to now she's got a 20-person team in 2 years.
Wow.
It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not there yet, but I mean, we basically doubled. We went from doing a little over 100 to close to 300,000 in 2020
in
agency like SEO work.
Yeah.
And it was
awesome.
And it wasn't like we had to do anything extra. You know, it wasn't even like we had to sell that hard. It was just like people were coming to us saying, I need help. And what was crazy about it is actually I turned away a lot of business because I was like, you're not even in the position for me to do anything for you, you know? Because and I think like with this now, it's like people are a little bit more educated. They understand what it takes to build a website. They there's a better understanding, you know, whereas like a few years ago, it's like 5,000 for a website, 10,000 for a website, you know? Now it's like, okay, yeah. That makes sense because I need it, you know, whereas before I think for some businesses, it was like this luxury thing, you know, whereas now it's like, hey, if you were a restaurant and you did online purchasing and online delivery services and online booking, you stayed in business. You know, if you were a therapist or something that switched over to a platform where it's like, hey, I don't need to see you in person. We're doing Zoom calls. You stayed in business. You know, and that's kind of the beautiful thing about it. So, you know, I don't know, like I said, I could talk about this for forever. I love, this is like my favorite topic.
So let's just dive in. So we're going to be talking about sales tactics to be growing your agency. So how do you ensure you're constantly filling your pipeline with prospective clients?
So here, and this is, don't try to be like everybody else. I think one of the biggest lessons that I learned, growing, like, cause I started off as just like a freelancer, you know, like I still have an Upwork account, you know, I still generate leads from that. If you're trying to build an agency, like seriously, like create an Upwork thing and start, like, there's plenty of people that.
It's a great way to start off.
It really is like freelancer sites and stuff like that. If you don't have a solid resume yet, start taking on work, you know, start taking on work, build your skill set, build your resumes. Because some of those people are going to transition over into it could go. I had a client. I did an audit for a company. I'm not even going to say the niche. I'm not even going to say where it was. But I did an audit in like a thing for a company in 2019. You know, and she was like, "Oh, this was great." Blah 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 blah. And who ended up calling me 2 years later because they wanted to go full time SEO because the owner was now pregnant. She couldn't handle doing her own stuff. And I realized, I was like, so you didn't do anything I did on the audit? She's like, no, I've been really busy, but can you do it? But I was already positioned. I was familiar with the brand. I was familiar with the company. It basically went from like, hey, this was a good little project. Thank you so much, to, wow, this is great. We want to work with you. We want to hire you on full time to just run our digital marketing.
Yeah.
And that happens more often than not, you know, and there's, and like I, you know, like we were talking about not even 5 minutes ago, it's like everybody needs it. Everybody needs digital marketing. So you're going to have to kiss a lot of frogs. It's just part of the game. You know, it's kind of like going, you don't know what you like to eat until you've tried it at all the restaurants.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. So like, do you do like cold calling, cold outreach, video prospecting, like, What do you do? Is it mostly just connecting with prospective clients through Upwork? Then is
not even so much through Upwork as, so here's the thing. I have 5 agency sites that I built and ranked for different niches. I have 2 local general ones, and then I have like specific niche sites. You know, because there are people that are looking for niche specific, and then there are people that are looking for, hey, I want to work with somebody local. I want to work with somebody near me that exactly. can get results.
Yep.
But it's also like, I joined the chamber. I go to events. I go to, I join groups, you know,
conventional networking.
Yeah. Cause I'm still old school. I mean, I'm 43, you know, I'm not super old, you know what I mean? But I grew up in the transitional phase where it's like computers. I remember Commodore 64, you know, with the pixels. I remember Atari, you know, like I didn't grow up with a tablet and a cell phone in my hand. Yeah. So to me, it's like, I think that the best, because this is the thing about it. It's like, you could try to sell services all day. And I don't try to sell services, you know, because I realized a long time ago, it's like people buy you before they buy anything. You know, if you're just trying to be the best service person or the best, like, hey, we do these services, people, I let's put it this way, like, you're attracting the wrong people. You know, if you're trying to do discount services, like, hey, we do it cheap, you know, you're going to attract cheap clients. You know, so, but at the same time, it's, you have to like earn the resume first, but you eventually get to a point where it's like, hey, I know who I want to work with. Mm-hmm. I know what types of businesses I really enjoy working with, because I could tell you this, you know, just given, I mean, I've had them contact me, you know, in regards to work, whether it's like, hey, I'm a stripper in Las Vegas and I need to get my website up. So I've had Orthodox, like religious monk groups call me to try to hire me on to do their YouTube stuff, mm-hmm. to get people to join the church, mm-hmm. you know? So it's, you get a really wide variety of people, all the time. And, yeah. you know, you got to figure out like what you're good at, what you're passionate about. And then the other thing is like, do you really want to take the time to do all the keyword research and learn about the entire industry for every new client? Or do you just want to like focus working on an industry? Yeah. So that's actually why, we started Dope SEO. We started Cannabis Marketing Services because, you know, I mean, one of my longtime clients is in the CBD like cannabis niche, and we've, you know, luckily enough, you know, we've kept them. When they first brought me on board, it was one of these things where they had a couple bad experiences with a couple people. I was very straightforward with them. I didn't overpromise anything. I was like, hey, you know, I turned them, like when they first called me, like, hey, I run a CBD company. I was like, no. You know what I mean? Because I was like,
no, like it's like, becoming like, I'm in Ontario, Canada, where it's legal. And yeah, it's just like, it's just mainstream now. Like it's not taboo anymore. It used to be like, didn't want to be associated with businesses like that, but it's just like, it's normal to see businesses downtown.
Now it's normal. But in the beginning, you know, with the CBD stuff, like CBD is like hyper competitive. I mean, if you do keyword research on CBD oil, it's up there. It's in like the 99%, like very hard range in HREFs, you know, it's like you need 2,000 or 10,000 backlinks to just get on page one. It's like, if you don't have 20 grand for links every month, like you're not going to do it, you know? So when they first contacted me, I was like, I almost hung up on them. You know, I was like, nah, man, I'm good. Like I've heard this pitch before. And he's like, no, we're established. We're doing good, blah, blah, blah. But we need somebody to come in who actually knows what they're doing. And I actually ran some numbers. I was like, holy crap, you guys actually know what you're doing. So it ended up working out. And I mean, I've been with them now for 3-4 years.
Interesting.
And, you know, and it's really good. And I helped them like the first year I was working with them, they were doing, when I came on, they were doing 600K and I helped them get to 4.2 million. Wow. Online, and they just do an online store. So it's just online sales. So with that, you know, here's the thing, like, so that's the type of thing. It's like, once again, you have to build your portfolio. It's like, I can say that, you know, I have the screenshot on my phone where it was like, dude, because of you, we're making this much. I was like, you know, and that right there, I can do the same process where it's like, I can take the results that I've gotten for other companies without naming those companies. You know, and just say like, hey, this is what we did for a client. You know, here's the screenshot with the names blurred out, you know? And if you're in the industry, you know who they are. If you're not, I'm not trying to throw them under the bus. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing too. I respect my clients. I don't, you know, some people are like, we've worked with all these people. I keep most of my clients off my stuff.
That's interesting because most agencies do that.
Yeah. I don't like to. Honestly, like I've got a very part of my whole sales thing with this is like, if I'm working with you, I'm not working with your competition. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're trying to run a local thing, and I've seen this happen so many times, and to me, it's like, there's an ethical aspect of it to where it's like, it's like dating, you know, how am I supposed to commit all my time to you or commit my time to helping you run your business when I have 6 other girlfriends in the same neighborhood, you know, or in the same industry? It's not going to work like that. So
how do you do that if you're only serving the cannabis industry?
Well, here's the thing. Right now you've got, with all the states opening up, with all the states opening up and all the states going legal, you know, if, let's just put it this way, if you took on one dispensary client in one major city per state, you're running a 6-figure agency.
Definitely. You know?
Because you're not talking, because here's the thing, like I have one online CBD company that I work with.
So I guess that's where it would blur the lines a little bit, is if they're only online, right? So you only have one that's just like straight online, and then it's like local businesses in each city.
Because here's the thing, like local businesses need digital market. I mean, if you look at any search result, what's the first thing that shows up now? It's local. You know, yeah. Google's going to geo, what's the word we're looking for? I mean, basically it's very like near me searches that, exactly. that they're propagating. You know, everything right now is near me searches, especially if you're going like, hey, I'm looking for a product or I'm looking for a service. They're going to give you the closest ones to you. You know, maps are going to show up first, you know, and then you're, they're going to give you your local stuff. And then it's, then you can start seeing national results. Yeah. So with that being the case, you know, I just landed in Chicago, like I said, you know, an hour ago. Chicago's legal, you know, Illinois is legal. Mm-hmm. You know, there's, if you take on one or two clients in Chicago, you're good. You know, you're good because you've got Chicago, but then you've got all the other major areas around the main area. Yeah. You don't have to like, I need all my clients so I can sit down and talk to them. You know, if you think about all the states that have opened up, and it's the same thing with this. It's like I've got a buddy of mine who just did seven figures last year, and he only does HVAC. You know, he runs an HVAC agency.
That's cool.
And that was actually what inspired me. I was like, I'm just gonna go niche, man. Like, what you're doing is so smart.
Yeah, it really is. Because
he just works with HVAC companies, and he's like, yeah. So what I do is basically, he's like, I get a lot of referrals from a lot of people, but I have to turn down people because, like, if I'm working, where you said you're in Ontario, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, let's put it this way: like, Ontario is pretty big, so it's kind of like, hey, he'll have something to where it's like, if you're within this 20-mile radius or this 30-mile service radius, you're a competitor of my client. I can't work with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I basically operate the same way because if it's going to be near me, local stuff, because local stuff is still going to generate a ton of money for people.
Totally. You know,
if you're thinking about running, like, especially if you're going into home services, especially if you're going into any type of, you know, plumbers, home builders, home repair. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so many of them, you know, as long as you're not competing, you know, like I live in DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth is bigger than the state of Connecticut. So, you know what I mean? Like there's North Dallas, there's Dallas proper, there's West Dallas, there's East Dallas, there's the middle of it, there's Arlington where the Cowboys play. Then you got Fort Worth. It's an entire, I mean, there's 10 million plus people there.
No way. That's crazy.
I'm not just going to work with one business there, but it's like, hey, at least I know you're at least 30 minutes, 40 minutes away from my other client.
Yeah.
You know, you're outside of that service area.
You're just being very conscious to make sure that you're not causing a conflict of interest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Because the thing with that is like, for one, I've known people that are like, hey, I'm not telling them, I'm just going to work with both of them. And to me, there's something ethically and just like morally wrong with that, because who really are you going to focus on? You know, you can't have two clients that you're trying to rank for number one.
Yeah.
You know, especially for like a city search term. Exactly. But the same thing, I've had other people where it's like, hey, we're, you know, we just work with all of them and we tell them about it. And then it's like, well, what kind of results can they expect with you if, you know, you've had a client for 3 years and then you have a different client that you just took on for 1 month, you know, it's something like that. So, you know, along those lines, and this is the thing, if you do good work and you get good results, people will refer you business. Definitely. You know? That's what I learned. If you do good work, people will refer you business because, I mean, they're going to brag about it. You know, I've been so busy. My SEO guy is getting me leads. You know, my phone's ringing off the hook. This is great.
Yeah.
Who'd you hire? Oh man, this guy. You know, unless they're just like, they're not into that. But most people, you know, 9 times out of 10, if somebody's doing really, really well, they're going to talk. You know, I had, what's funny is when I first got started doing digital marketing, one of my major clients was, it was in like the addiction recovery niche.
Okay.
And this guy basically took me, he had me come down for like some addiction recovery networking event down in Austin. And he basically took me in and physically, he's like, hey, this is Max. He's my SEO guy. Hey, this is Max. He's my SEO guy. Hey, this is Max. He's my SEO guy.
That's so amazing.
Well, it was great. And then we parted ways, you know, because he took on a business. It was just a whole bunch of like, he was like, I can't afford you. And I was like, all right. So then all the guys that he introduced me to started calling me.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, hey, we don't have, like, there's nothing to say. Like, I can't work with these other people now that I'm no longer working with you.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
So it's weird. So it's like, you can become very well known in an industry, in a niche. And for all these, I can tell you what, if anybody was ever interested in doing something like that, like there are a lot of industries out there, like insurance, things like that, like, where there is, What is it called? It's like required learning.
Okay.
Where like they have to go in for like a certain amount of like extra training.
Yeah.
On stuff. And if you get in with these groups, you can be a speaker because you can come in and talk about, hey, how to generate more leads for your business, right, or how to better serve your clients. Mm-hmm. And you get to talk to all the business owners in that industry at once, you know, in an area.
Yeah.
And you know, and you could, I mean, then if you get four or five people, it's okay, I'd really like to hire you. Then you can pick and choose the best one for yourself.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's so powerful when you can say, you know, we only take on one client in this city, you know,
it's exclusivity.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you have them being like, oh, well, I definitely want to be that one.
So, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. It's a different frame of mind. It's the way I always put it was like, when you're single, nobody wants to date you, you know, but when you're in a relationship, all of a sudden you're really attractive to everybody else. So it's the same kind of,
it's human nature.
Exactly. So it's like, hey, I can't work with you. I've turned people down all the time where it's like, hey, I can't work with you. You're in the, oh man, well, let me know, you know, well, let me know, versus like, oh man, I promise you we can get you results. To me, it's like, oh man, we're good. Like we can't work with you because we're working with somebody else, but hey, we'll keep you on the list. If this ever, you know, if we ever part ways, like I could take you on,
yeah.
You know? So what's cool about that is you develop like some sort of like weird waiting list.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I feel like I cut you off. You were going to say something.
Yeah. No. Do you have any like specific closing tactics that you have found to be effective?
Listen to what they're telling you, mm-hmm. you know, and be upfront. Don't overpromise anything. Mm-hmm. I always tell, it's like, I do not make promises. I do not make guarantees on any type of project work for anybody. You know, because we don't control Google. We don't control like technology is the one thing you cannot control. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if your internet goes out in the neighborhood, like you can't do anything. You know, I live in Texas. Last year, the power went out for a week in the whole state. Couldn't do anything. You know, it was beyond our control. So,
like when Facebook, Instagram went down for that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, you're freaking out. It's like, it's beyond my control. I don't run the platform. But the thing with it is, I think a lot of times when you're brand new, you have a tendency to not listen and just talk, you know? And I know a lot of digital marketers, I know a lot of SEOs that are just like, well, we got to get into all the details. It's like, listen, they don't care. If I go to my auto mechanic, you know, and I say, hey man, I need you to just, there's a check engine light on. Can you fix it? When the guy is like, well, we figured all this out. I was like, can you fix it? You know what I mean? Like, all right. Cause I don't need to know how this connects with this and all this other stuff.
You kill the sale, you know, when you talk too much.
Exactly. You lose the sale. So sometimes it's just better to shut up and listen, mm-hmm. listen to what they're saying, listen to what they need help with. And then in 9 times out of 10, it's not about what you want to offer them. It's what they need and how you can help them. You know, because I think a lot of people get really stuck on it. It's like, well, this is what I'm really good at. Let me tell you all about it. And they're like, but I don't care because I just want to make sure, like, are you going to get me more phone calls? Mm-hmm. And that's the real thing with it. I think a lot of times when it comes to SEO, when it comes to digital marketing, if you can't produce ROI, you're going to lose the client, you know? So that's basically why I focus on it. It's like, hey, we're not going to worry about these glory terms, you know, these, it's like, I'm on number one for this. It's like, great. How does that convert though? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I'd rather focus on it goes against what a lot of people teach. It's like, I'm on page one for this term. It's like, great. You get a ton of traffic and you get a massively high bounce rate for that. Like nobody's buying from you for that term. Mm-hmm. Versus like, you know, emergency plumber that can come to my house today. You know what I mean? Like that right there. I mean, it's a very low search volume term. But at the same time, it's like, hey, if somebody can actually, like, if you could rank somebody for that term, guess what? They're getting calls and they're getting really, really, really qualified calls that are converting into money.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You know, yeah. Versus like licensed plumber with all this great experience. Like nobody searches for that. You know, what you need is like, you got to think about, so back to the original question. Sorry, I could talk about this, but back to the initial question is really, it's like, focus on how you can help them and mm-hmm. don't like, don't try to educate your client on the first sales call. You know, don't try to make them an SEO expert. Don't try to make them a digital marketing expert. They just want their phone to ring. You know, they just want leads coming in. They want people to fill out their contact form. They want their business to grow. You know, what they don't want is, well, we think the better optimization technique for this, and, you know, they don't care. Like, no, I've ran into, like, in my experience doing this, there's maybe two or three people that actually really enjoy talking about all the digital marketing aspects and, like, all the behind the scenes nitty gritty details of metadata and schema and all this other stuff. Most of them are like, hey, is my phone ringing?
Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's all I care about.
Too much information to the client. It's confusing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even like when I do reporting, you know, after I bring somebody on board, I little secret, I do, after, like, when somebody contacts me, when I run an audit, I send a Loom video. I don't send 25 pages of spreadsheet data.
Okay.
I send a Loom video.
So is that before you kind of sign them on as a client?
Yeah, because nighttime. I mean, here's the thing. Like I said, I have a very Floyd Mayweather approach. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know who Floyd Mayweather is, but he's okay. So he's a boxer. He's an undefeated boxer. He's considered one of the best boxers. But, like, one of the biggest things with Mayweather was, like, Mayweather always fought guys he knew he could beat.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't take it. Like, I enjoy a challenge, but there are certain things I'm like, this is never going to happen. So I have some questions that I ask people to make sure that they can afford what needs to be done, you know, and at the same time that they're going to be on board with the changes that need to be done to get them the results that they want. Just to qualify them, because I've worked with some people where it's like, I'll do whatever. And then, like, you know, I want to get a good, like, I'm not trying to close you on day one. You know, if anything, like, I'm trying to date you for maybe a week back and forth to see how you respond. You know,
to make sure that they're not going to be a super high maintenance client. And like, what are some of those qualifying questions that you ask?
The qualifying questions, it really boils down to, what are your goals? Yeah. What are your goals? What are your goals? What's your budget? And what are you willing to do to make it happen? You know, are you open to making changes? You know, it's kind of, cause it's kind of like, I think, let's put it this way. I spend a lot of time fixing, or we spend a lot of time fixing other people's problems, you know, where it's like, oh, we hired somebody and they messed it up.
It's so common.
It's so common, right? So common, because the person that messed it up just wanted to do it their way.
Yeah.
Didn't want to do it the way the client wanted to do it their way. And the client hates it. And now it doesn't work. Or they're like this.
Digital marketers out there now.
And there's so many of them out there. So this is why I need to separate myself from this, because it's like, I'll tell them, it's like, I don't want to take you on at this moment. Like, I need to, like, here's the thing. I need to do my research on your business so that I can get a good idea of what we're dealing with. So before I even work on this, give me access to your analytics. Give me access to the back end of your website. Give me access to all this stuff so that I can take a look myself and see how much damage control we're going to have to do before we even get started on this.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So instead of, like, I'm not walking into a dumpster fire, I'm walking in like whether, and if it is a dumpster fire, I'm fully prepared for the dumpster fire. It's like, okay. You know, cause I've seen some really bad ones. You're like, oh, man. Yeah. But charge appropriately, because when I was new, I made that mistake where it's like, yeah, cool. Send the contract over, blah, blah, blah. Send the invoice over. They pay. And then I go into the website and I'm like, oh man. You know, it's like, I want to make sure that they've got all their stuff. I want to make sure that, and it's the simple things too. It's like a really simple onboarding thing. It's like, who do you host with? Who's your registrar? Da-da-da-da. What are your passwords? Who's got access to this? Because if they don't know that, during like a normal phone call, it's like, oh, I don't know who set it up. What are my people? It's like, guess what? You're going to spend your first 3 weeks of your project trying to get access to their website.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're going to go, so what's going on? So how's it going? You know, and you're like, so I'm still waiting to get it. You know, it's kind of like dropping your car off to the mechanic. It's like, what's going on with my car? Well, you haven't actually dropped the car off at the shop yet for us to start working on it. You know what I mean? So it's the same kind of thing. But one of the other things I look at too is, like, I turned down a really big project, about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Somebody hit me up and they were like this travel company. And the guy's like, hey, man, we need help with SEO. And I started Googling the company. And then I was like, one of the things I always like to look at is also like company reviews. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this company had like a 1.4 on consumer affairs. Ooh. And I mean, they had 50 or 100 like one star reviews going back like 10, 15 years. And I was like, listen, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I can do all the great SEO in the world that I want, but your reviews are terrible. Like if you just type in, they had a one star rating, like a 1.4 rating. But that was the first thing that showed up when you typed in company reviews. Yeah. And then they had like a 2-star on Yelp. And then they had like a 1-star on Facebook. And then they had, so I basically told the guys like, listen, I can do all the great SEO in the world, but the fact is this, the bulk of the work that I'm going to have to go into is actually reputation management to repair this, because what's the goal? Your goal is to sign up more travel agents, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I can help you with this. Like, you know, so I threw him, I was like, listen, I want 10 grand a month, you know, cause I want 10 grand a month because I'm going to have to be doing triple duty for this, mm-hmm. because I can properly optimize your site. Like your site's optimized. You're getting traffic. It's just that as soon as they Google the reviews, listen, people have been shopping online now.
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, like Amazon trained us to shop online. And, you know, do you buy products with a bad review? No, you buy products with the good review. Why does Google Maps have a review platform? Why does Yelp have a review? Because they want it, because people want to work with a company that's really, really good. So,
that's
so
my whole business. That's why I'm in business, is because people care about reviews. That's all I sell.
Absolutely.
Management software.
Absolutely. So that's the thing. So when it comes to review stuff, when it comes to this, it's like if somebody's Googling your business, and I don't care if you're on page one for like best blah 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 service in XYZ city, as soon as they type in reviews and they see 1-star, 2-stars, bad reviews, and I mean, you know, you can give somebody a pass when it's like a three, you know, if it's like 3 years ago, or for the, you know, I think like having one or two bad reviews is normal.
Yeah.
But when you have 50 terrible reviews on your website, on every, yeah, there's like, I don't care what I can't do anything for you. So this is the other thing that I like to look at too, because to me, that tells me about the business, you know, and part of my thing is, it's like, for one, ethically, it's like, I'm not going to take money from a company that just screws people. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, then I'm just helping you screw people, and that's not cool.
And
two,
you can do all this marketing work for them, and it's not gonna do anything. It's like,
absolutely,
do a little bit, but yeah, it's like then they'll see the reviews, and then they're not gonna go any further. And
absolutely, absolutely. So that was the first thing I brought up in the conversation. I was like, listen, guys, like I don't really know if I can do this for you, but if you do want me to do this, it's gonna be 10 grand a month starting. Like that's like the lowest I'm gonna go. You know, like I was like, that's if you want to just like get started at like a basic package. You know, and they're like, oh, I was like, you know what? It just feels bad. It feels wrong. I don't even want the money. Like I can walk away from this right now.
And a great fit.
Yeah. Just because your reviews are terrible. Like, and I understand like people are going to leave bad reviews because they're having a bad day and somebody messed up their coffee in the drive-thru, you know, but like,
heard of someone having that many bad reviews. That's fine.
No. So that's the thing. Like, to me, it's just like, that just leads me to believe that like, you're just not a good business and I don't want to work with you. So,
yeah.
You know, so that's the thing. It's like, you're going to have to kiss those frogs, but at the same time, it's like, you should, you know, have a good idea of like who you're working with. You know, and I think if you're starting off, like one of the best things I could ever tell you or tell anybody starting off is like, you know, start with your family. If you're going to start with your family, don't expect a lot of, you know, they're probably the worst critics ever. If you have family members that run a business, mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather get paid by somebody that I don't have a familiar relationship with, that I'm not going to have to see at Sunday dinner or on Thanksgiving. You know, like I built my dad's site, but like, I'm just like, I'm building you a site, dude, because your site's terrible. You know, and I did some work for some other people, but the best thing you could do is like, if you need a portfolio, like build them a site, get them some results and then leave and then move on. You know, don't take them on as a full-time client, because they're just going to, it's going to ruin your familiar relationship unless like you have a business relationship unless everybody's an entrepreneur. Oh man, there's so many things I could talk about, but I think starting off with really just, you know, just get out there, you know, put yourself out there, figure out what you're really good at, and focus on that, you know, focus on that while you learn other stuff. You know, when I first started doing marketing, my thing was like, hey man, I optimize YouTube. Like I start off as a YouTube marketer, you know, and it wasn't like, hey, I'm doing these TikTok videos and these YouTube videos. I wasn't doing like videos where I was staying. I was like, hey, I can optimize your videos. You know, but this is the thing, I need you, like, this is what I'm gonna need from you. Like, you have to create the content.
Exactly.
You know, and then, but that was the whole thing. It was like, hey, we started, like, I took a channel from 1,000 to almost 99,000 subscribers organically, like without paid ads. And that was, you know, and I helped that client go from 1,000 to 99,000 subs, but it's a very super niche. And she does online training. You know, she runs an online course.
Yep.
And she sells her online course for $2,000 a pop. You know, and she does two launches a year, and she makes anywhere from 400 to like 700,000 per launch. So, and that's mostly from organic YouTube traffic.
That's really
so. Cool. So that's the thing. It's like don't necessarily do what everybody's doing. You know, if there's something that you're really passionate about, see what you could do about making money doing what you love, you know, because then it's no longer a job. You know, I've worked with some clients, where it's like, oh my God, I hate everything about this project. You know, it's like, I hate the industry. I hate reading about this. I hate writing about it. I hate researching it. You guys are boring. All of your clients are boring.
Through in your work if you're not into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm literally just doing this for the paycheck. And then there's some other stuff where it's like, hey man, like why do I love doing cannabis marketing? Cannabis is fun. Everybody you work with in cannabis is fun. You know, and they know, and they know going into it, this is highly competitive.
Yeah.
And it's not cheap. So it's like, it's an absolute win. So because I've been able to get results and I know how to do it. And because, like, I've done years and years and years of local SEO, and I've done years and years of niche SEO, mm-hmm. you know, I can set real expectations. I don't make promises. I can set expectations. This is what you should expect to see.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you should expect to see. And we're going to keep it going from there. And, you know, and I have, and that's the thing with it. It's like people, I've only had like two people actually like leave me. Most people I drop.
Oh, wow.
In regards to clients, but the other thing is like I have a very high retention rate. Like I've had clients that I've had, you know, 3 years, 4 years, you know, 24 months, 18 months, you know, there's a lot of, because I don't make a lot of promises. I set realistic expectations. Mm-hmm. You know, I work with them on their own level. It's like, hey, if you only want to talk once a month, great. That's my, and I actually set that expectation as like, my goal with you is to only talk once a month.
That's smart.
You know what I mean?
It's like, yeah, some clients definitely want more communication than that, but if they don't, then there's no point. Just like,
right. Just hounding them. It's like, hey, we got another report for you. Hey, whatever.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah. They're busy doing their own thing. They trust you. So that's
absolutely
client.
Absolutely. So I try to set that expectation where it's like, hey, for the first couple months, we're going to be communicating quite often, but my real goal with you is to only talk once a month. You know, when we can go over like, hey, is there like, what are the new goals? What do we need to adjust for? Blah, blah, blah. Is it a seasonal thing? Are we doing something different? And I just kind of set that expectation up because it's like, hey, if I have, you know, there's only so much time in the day, you know, it's like, I can't do SEO while I'm on the phone with you. You know, I can't do SEO while I'm on a Zoom call with you. If for one, I'm definitely not doing a screen share Zoom meeting with you while you watch me optimize your website.
No.
That's been cool. There, done that. Oh, elation. Can you move the pixel over? Can you change? No. Hey, there's another thing. Can you go in there and figure? No, I'm not tech support. That's the other thing too. It's like, I said, it's like, I'm not tech support. Do you have an IT? Cause I can hook you up with that. I know IT people. Mm-hmm. This is another thing too. I think, get to know people in other industries in digital marketing, mm-hmm. you know, get to know, cause I've got a buddy of mine who's a great Facebook ads guy. Mm-hmm. I refer him. You know, it's like, hey, do you Facebook ads? No, but I got a guy that I love who does great work. I refer him, you know, I refer people over to him all the time. And what's funny is it's a reciprocal relationship. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, I got a guy I'm doing Facebook ads for that needs SEO. Great. And we could talk. And it's like, hey, how's this guy as a client? You know, how's this person as a client?
Or find an agency owner who does white label services, and then you can offer those services to them just under your own brand.
I've actually, I've shied away from that recently. I did white label stuff for a while. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, because I like to build the relationship with my clients. I've had some terrible experiences with other agencies that I'm working, like I was doing white label stuff for, mm-hmm. because they would set these outrageous expectations. Hey, well, we could do that, right? You know, it's like, hey, we could get them on page one for that, right? And I was like, no.
Yeah, it definitely has to be a good fit for the way that you work and your expectations. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I think with that, it's I've had some good stuff, but it's also, it's like, hey, we got this client, they're paying us $500 a month for SEO. What can you do? I was like, not much for a dentist in a major city. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, well, could you just work? I was like, I can work. I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a lot of room. There's not a lot of budget for that. You know, especially mm-hmm. when there's 25 other dentists all trying to rank for dentist in this city. I wish you would have talked to me first before you onboarded him at 500, because I would have told you not to do it. Yeah. You know, because now I have to send these disappointing reports every month saying like, hey, we moved up from spot 23 to spot 18. I know you're not getting any calls yet, but I promise you, if everybody else burns down and dies, like you'll get the business.
We're doing our best over here.
You know, we're doing our best with what we got. So that's the thing. So it's like, if you do plan on white labeling, make sure that you're going in with an agency that actually understands SEO, you know, that actually understands SEO and lets you as the SEO communicate with their clients. Because I've had some terrible, I mean, just horror stories with, where it's like, yeah, we got all these great clients. I was like, oh, cool. What are they doing? And this is the thing, but these are like social media marketing agents. Like, well, we do a Facebook for them. It's like, oh, okay, cool. And we built their website. It's like, great. So, and then you go in, you're like, oh, you're just like a web design company. So you didn't actually optimize anything. Cause I'm going on the back end. I was like, all your images are titled IMG 8546782. You know, like everything's wrong. Like in regards to technical SEO, I was like, oh, you made this really pretty piece of crap. So I have to go in and like fix everything, you know, and like, oh, you want backlinks? Oh yeah, no, there's no budget for that.
You definitely gotta get your process in place for sure.
Yeah, you gotta get your process in place. And so that's the thing. It's like if you're gonna offer white label, make sure you're dealing with an agency that actually understands, or at least lets you communicate what you need to the client and lets you set your own prices and doesn't try to like price gouge and then pay you a small amount. I'm doing quote unquote white label for a guy right now. Mm-hmm. He's in a super, super niche industry and all of his clients are like, super, like they get it, you know, they get it. They and I'm like, this is what I need to happen. He's like, okay, cool. And it's one of these things where it's like, he's got an IT person. Like, I don't even have to do on page stuff.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I'm like, hey, IT person, go fix this page, you know, really focused on building links and doing other stuff.
Yeah.
So it's great. So that's the thing. Like there's a lot of these pop-up agencies that are like, oh, we just want an SEO person. And, you know, they're like, we could do SEO for $300 a month. Well, mm-hmm. it's just an add-on to our other stuff. It's like, you're not going to get any results unless you live in middle of nowhere population 500 and you're the only business in that area that's offering what you're doing.
100%.
So be careful with that.
Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but yeah, first we have while, the it's been an awesome conversation though. It's lots of helpful information.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, this is fun. I mean, if you ever want to do it again, I'm down for round two.
Definitely.
This is cool.
So to wrap things up, we've got the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Oh, this is like a brain fart right here. I got to say, one of the best books I ever read was by Og Mandino, and it was The Greatest Salesman in the World.
Okay.
And it's not your typical digital marketing. It's very traditional marketing, but one of the greatest lessons I ever learned was basically do it all with love. Everything that's really you do, cool. every person you meet, do it with love. You know, even if they tell you no, even if they tell you no, hey man, I love you.
Yeah.
Have a great day. You know what I mean? Thanks for telling me no. Thanks for not wasting 45 or an hour and a half of my time, you know, leading me on, you know, at least like love the person that tells you no just as much as you love the person that tells you yes.
Love it. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Coffee.
Coffee before anything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So it's basically, cause I got three kids, it's get up. I take my son to school for basketball practice, go over to the gym, work out for 45 minutes or an hour. And then I go head over to the office and I'm in the office at like 7:15. I'm there 2 hours before anybody else shows up. I get caught up on my day and I like to call it quits, like be done by 3:30 every day.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Funny story. I'm a big Gary V fan. I think Gary's great.
Yeah.
Because Gary is a Jersey guy. I grew up in New Jersey. My brother actually used to work in his liquor store. That's a whole other story for that. We kind of know each other. I think he's great in the sense, like, he's very inspirational. I don't follow a lot of people. Like, this is the thing with me. It's like, I don't spend a lot of time on social media and I don't spend a lot of time following other people. Mm-hmm. I learned that actually I make my most money when I stop and get off of social media. Like,
it's
stop,
a total, like, time waster.
Yeah. I run a training group for Search Marketing Institute. I'm like the YouTube coach for that. Mm-hmm. And like, we have a Facebook group that's like with people, there's 200 members in the group. And I'm like, guys, I'm only here for my webinars. And if somebody tags me in this, like, I'm not going to be in here like commenting all day because I need to go run my business.
Well, cause you have good intentions of going onto social media, you know, if it's for networking or whatever, managing a page. And then you get distracted because there's a million things on there designed to distract you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Before you know it, you're buying, you know, the workout things that you put on your foot because you're like, oh, frog feet, just, you know, whatever they are. Like, I got them, you know, the weights for your foot. I was like, this is cool. I'm going to work. They've been sitting in a box for a month now.
Yeah. What is your favorite online tool?
Hrefs.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Patience.
That's a good one.
Yeah, patience. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen overnight. And you can force it all you want. The universe will actually give you what you're ready for. Mm-hmm. So stop trying to force it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Max. It's been really my great pleasure. Chatting about sales with you.
Absolutely. And you actually, what was really cool, you pronounced my last name correctly and I think it's because I spelled it out that, you know, I was like, you hot, but you actually pronounced it correctly.
You put in brackets, the description of like how to pronounce it. And I love people that do that. Cause there's like so many last names out there that are like impossible to pronounce.
Correctly. No, it's a Hungarian telemarketer's nightmare. So it's like, if you call me and you can't get my name right, like, I know you're, I don't know you. So it's, yeah, but you did it really, really well. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on.
All right. My pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.